example of how we are to walk in love. And Jesus himself uses himself as an example of how we should walk in love. So Jesus kept the commandments of God. That's how he showed his love for us and his love for God. So walking in love involves loving the Lord enough to be in submission to his commands. So walking in love involves loving the Lord enough to be in submission to his commands. You may say, Jesus is perfect. I can't live like him. Well, you're right. Jesus is perfect. He is perfect. You're not perfect. Well, Jesus knows this. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows you sin, but he loves you so much that he died on the cross so that you could have your sins forgiven, so that you could have them wiped away and you could have a loving relationship with God the Father. That's what Jesus did. He gave us a way so that we could live for him, so that we could abide in his love. Yes, he knows we're not perfect. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again so that you could have a way to get your sins forgiven, wiped away. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even if you sin over and over again, if you will go to the Father and ask him for forgiveness and submit to his will in your life, he will cleanse you of those sins and you will once again abide in his love. You will have fullness of joy. You will experience the love of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wants to have this loving relationship with you. He wants to abide in love with you. He wants you to be able to walk in love. So, as you submit to his will and you're trying to keep his commandments, if you sin, he says, just confess that sin to me and I will cleanse you of that sin and forgive you of that so we can continue in this loving relationship together. That is the relationship that Jesus offers you. You don't have to be perfect. As a matter of fact, if you don't realize you're a sinner, you can't come to the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees, who thought they were so wonderful and so godly, they were the ones that Jesus rejected. But those who will say, hey, I am a sinner, I do need the Lord, I need him to forgive me, that is the one who Jesus will forgive and justify and abide in love with. That is what we need to understand. You may be saying, how can I keep all the commands of Jesus? Aren't there a lot of them? How can I keep all the commands of Jesus? Aren't there a lot of them? Well, we may not know all the instructions in the Bible on how to live. I don't know anybody that really knows all of the instructions. Sometimes we forget them. But Jesus gave us two basic commands to guide our actions. Jesus gave us two basic commands to guide our actions. First of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbors as yourself. If you look down, start reading in verse 11. Let's go to verse 11 in this passage. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Then verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, this is reinforcing these two basic commands that Jesus has given to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love him. And then love one another. Love one another. Love others as you love yourself. Now, this love for God and for others is defined for us back in Ephesians chapter 5. So let's turn our Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 2. This love is defined for us. It says, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Now, Jesus Christ's love was a sacrificial love. Jesus Christ's love was a sacrificial love. He sacrificed his life to please the Father. So, in wanting to satisfy the wrath of God, in wanting to pay for our sins so that we didn't have to, Christ sacrificed his life, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma to God the Father. It pleased God that he sacrificed his life for others. His sacrificial love pleased God. So he followed the will of the Father and pleased him, and it showed his love. So, what are we supposed to do? We must be willing to follow and please God to show this kind of love. Also, he sacrificed his love for our benefit. He sacrificed his life for our benefit. So walking or abiding in love involves us sacrificing our will and desires to please the Lord and benefit others. Let me repeat that. Our walking or abiding in love involves us sacrificing our will and desires to please the Lord and benefit others. That is how we can walk in love. Now, you may think your life will be miserable if you live by these two principles. You may think, you know what? If I give up doing what I want in life and I try and do everything that God wants me to do and I try and sacrifice my love for the benefit of others, I'm going to be miserable. Guess what? The very opposite is true. Understand, the very opposite is true. Let's look back at verse 11. Turn back to verse 11, Luke, in John chapter 15. Verse 11 tells us the exact opposite will be true. Look what Jesus said. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So, Jesus says that you can experience full joy, real joy, his joy, if you will keep these two basic principles of life. If you will seek to please the Lord God, and you will seek to serve others and sacrifice and love others for their benefit, you will actually have real joy. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a God-rejecting, self-centered person have real joy and happiness? Anyone? No, absolutely not. Why? Because you were not created to be happy living that way. God created you to be happiest and have the most joy, the full joy, by pleasing God, by trying to please God and serving others and loving others. That's when you will find that your life will be full of joy. So if you're trying to seek joy and happiness by doing what you want in life, by seeking the pleasures of this world, you're not going to find it, because you were created for the opposite. You were created to give your life to Jesus Christ, to seek to please him and copy him in your life. And you were created to love others, to sacrifice your life for the benefit of others. When you do that, I promise you, you will gain joy, a real joy, a joy that comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Creator of the universe. This is the kind of joy that God wants you to have. Let's react to the love of Jesus by emulating his love for God and others in our life. Now, let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Say this: "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks." Now, secondly, when you experience the love of Jesus, sin will become disgraceful and inappropriate. Sin will become disgraceful and inappropriate. Notice the phrases, "not fitting for saints," and "which are not fitting," and "let it not even be named among you." Now, these phrases give us the idea that these sins are inappropriate and disgraceful for the follower of Jesus Christ. Understand that. Now, in our culture today, these sins are looked at not as disgraceful or inappropriate. But if you're abiding in the love of Jesus, you will see in a different light. Understand something. When you have the love of Jesus and you're experiencing this love from a holy God, you're going to look at sin in a different light. No longer are you going to look at sin as something pleasurable and inviting and harmless. You're going to look at sin as something dangerous and destructive and disgraceful and shameful. Now, because Christians may view these sins as inappropriate, we are often looked at as intolerant or judgmental of others. But I want you to understand, we look at these things this way because that's how God looks at them. Look at the word fornication. Now, fornication, this word here means immorality. Sexual perversion, which means any sexual act outside of the bonds of marriage. And all uncleanness is kind of an adjective describing these acts of immorality. Today, we see fornication, people even getting married and living together and having sexual relations without being in the bond of marriage. We see homosexual behavior. We see all kinds of unclean behavior, bestiality, and all kinds of terrible, awful things in our culture today. And we are seeing our culture become more and more accepting of these disgraceful behaviors. I also want you to notice it says neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting. This is getting together and cussing and telling dirty jokes, all these kind of things that are not good for us to be listening to. Many TV shows have this kind of behavior on it and glorify these kind of things. We need to understand that as Christians who are experiencing the love of Jesus, these are not things that we should be entertained by, and these are not things that we should have in our lives. They shouldn't even be named in our lives. Now, often as Christians, we are seen as being intolerant and judgmental of others because we view these behaviors as disgraceful and inappropriate. But viewing bad behavior as disgraceful and inappropriate is actually a sign of love for God and others. Now let me explain that. If we as Christians condone these sins and we disregard God's holy character, and we show a lack, we show a lack of caring for the souls of men. Let me repeat that. If we condone these sins, we disregard God's holy character, and we show a lack of caring for the souls of men. Understand that. I don't view these things and warn you of these things because I'm trying to control you or trying to manipulate you into some kind of behavior. No, I warn you of these things and show you how bad they are because I care about you. I care about your soul. I really care about our culture as a whole. I care about the culture that my children are growing up in. I care about what we're seeing in our world today. And I also understand this. I also understand that God's wrath is on those whose lifestyle are characterized by these sins. If your life is characterized by these sins, God's wrath is upon you. And if I care about you, I will warn you of this wrath so that you can change. So that you can change your destination. You see, me having a disdain or a Christian having a disdain for these sins is not a demonstration of judgment upon you or a demonstration of disdain for you. It's actually a display of my love for you. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to show people. God's wrath is on those whose lifestyle are characterized by these sins. So let's show our love for Jesus and others by not participating in these sins and thereby revealing these behaviors as disgraceful and inappropriate. Now finally, in verses 5 through 7, it says, "For this we know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. When you experience the love of Jesus, your destiny is revealed." When you experience the love of Jesus, your destiny is revealed. Now understand, how you react to the love of Jesus determines the path of your life. And your designation in the eyes of God, either as dear children, quote, or children of wrath, quote. So don't be deceived. If you fail to react to Jesus' love by seeking His forgiveness and will for your life, you are destined to experience God's wrath. Now understand something. God is showing you His love today. God is revealing His love to you today. He's revealing the good news about His Son Jesus Christ to you. He's showing you that He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And He has shown you that He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and you can have joy in your life if you will just ask Him for forgiveness and submit to His will. If you fail to do that, understand, He has shown you His love by revealing the path that you're on, revealing your destiny. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and submitted to His will, your destiny is a child of wrath. The good news is you can change your destiny. If you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and submit to His will in your life. If you will do that, you will go from a child of wrath to a dear child. And no longer will you experience the wrath of God, but you will experience the love of God in a great and full way. And you will have joy in your life. That is what we want for you. That's why I preach this. If I don't preach this, I am deceiving you. The Bible says, let no man deceive you. Understand, if someone says to you, oh, God's so loving and He's so good that He's just going to accept you the way you are and everything's wonderful, and even if you live like the devil, at the end of your life, God's going to let you into heaven. Well, guess what? That person is a liar. He does not care about you, and the truth is not in him. Don't let anyone deceive you. I don't want to deceive you. I'm telling you exactly what God and His Word says because I care about you. I care that you know the love of Jesus Christ, that you walk in His love. If someone tells you that you can live any way you want and God will let you into His kingdom anyway, he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. If I fail to warn you of God's wrath upon those who practice these sins, then I am deceiving you and not showing you the love of Jesus like I ought to. So, the good news is that you don't have to be a child of God's wrath. You can be one of God's dear children if you accept his payment for your sins, ask for forgiveness, and submit to his commands for your life. You can have fullness of joy as you walk in his love by following his commands and loving others sacrificially. So, let's walk in love by emulating the life of Jesus, by asking for the right view of sin, and by being sure of our destiny as dear children.